I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you'll hear the first part of a speech given by Dr. John McMurtry, author and professor of philosophy at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. This is a very powerful speech and was given at the International Citizens Inquiry into 9/11 on May 30th, 2004 in Toronto. I was actually at that conference, but somehow missed Dr. McMurtry's speech. Someone shared it with me recently from hearing it on Bonnie Faulkner's show Guns and Butter on KPFA out of Berkeley, California. She aired it in March of 2010. And you can also find it on globalresearch.ca, where it was also posted in March of 2010. What you'll hear today comes from the Guns and Butter show. The title of the speech is Why the Facts of 9/11 Are Suppressed, with a subtitle called Understanding the Ruling Group Mind Behind the War Without End. So let's get started. Here's Dr. John McMurtry.
Thank you very much. The subtitle is Understanding the Ruling Group Mind Behind the War Without End. I think that we've ultimately got an instituted cognitive structure here that selects for not only 9/11, but what I will later call the 9/11 wars. And hence I will explain it, beginning with the first section, Whose Reign of Terror? A quotation begins that, "The system works." Donald Rumsfeld. Civilized Americans were outraged at the torture of Iraqi prisoners by U.S. occupying forces when they found out about it. But not what started it all, the illegal war of aggression by the U.S. invasion of Iraq last year, the supreme crime under international law. Although it is reassuring that the corporate media finally broadcasts crimes against humanity instead of ignoring them, a crucial question arose in the face of the public relations onslaught by the Commander-in-Chief White House to spark American war fever again. Would the group mind slogans of the free world versus the terrorists fool the public once more? America at war had always worked before. At the height of this damage to America's image, note the focus of concern, the Patriot card was played again and again around the clock. That the Red Cross had reported that 70-90% of the torture victims were picked up at random and tortured for nothing they did not diminish cries for the terrorists' blood. That the official Taguba report was not permitted to question anyone above a part-time Reserve Army woman officer who was kept out of the interrogation room by U.S. Defense Intelligence did not register as evidence of top-down control. That the far worse crimes of continuously maiming and killing defenseless Iraqi women and children by U.S. and Allied bombing were not connected indicated that the murderous blind eye was still closed. The ruling group mind of America was only concerned about America's image abroad. Throughout, the deep pattern was overlooked, which tells all. That this U.S. regime obeys no law if it protects the life of people outside it. The examples are self-defining at every level. Sabotage laws of the community of nations from the Kyoto Protocol through the rights of children and the landmines treaty to trashing of nuclear bomb bans, covenants for economic sovereignty, and against racism and atmosphere destruction. Wherever one looks across the world's fields of life need, the U.S. presidential line of command constitutes itself as above the law, including the International Criminal Court itself, which it applies against others with righteous fury. Denial of any charge is the first response, and then attack on any who speak up. The Bush Jr. regime is a pure type of a long pattern of criminal lawlessness whose wheel within wheels of murderous operations is the seldom discussed U.S. defense intelligence, far more powerful than the CIA. The barbaric tortures in Iraq, which caused an international uproar in May 2004, had been internally and externally documented for the Pentagon since the previous year, but were ignored at the top until one thing changed. The pictures. The one thing the media public can understand were published by the mainstream media and made plausible denial no longer possible. There are no pictures of the 9/11 setup. Throughout, one rule remained intact. No one called the president or his directors liars. The latest big lie continued to be lost, as always, in disconnected pieces. In the background, 9/11 justified any violation of international and constitutional law as essential to the war on terrorism, the same justification used by the corporation-friendly Third Reich to invade other countries at will. Behind one corporate state was the precipitating Reichstag fire to declare war on all who stood in the way. Behind the successor military war state was 9/11. Both were based on transnational corporations working both sides. The 9/11 baseline to justify war on whomever one wanted, far more clearly than the Reichstag fire, was looked for long before the event. The Bush Jr. planners had already published the Lynchpin Proclamation, Project for a New American Century, a full year before 9/11 in September 2000. A public planning document in which the desired, quote, process of transformation for the U.S.'s world mission of, quote, full-spectrum dominance was made overtly contingent on, quote, some catastrophic and catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor, unquote. If the process of global military dominance was not to be, quote, a long one, unquote. It should have come as no surprise, then, that the wish by the men positioned to enable 9/11 was granted, with formerly financed allies executing the long-announced attack on the World Trade Center. One former agent, Omar Abdel Rahman, having masterminded the first attack in 1993, financed by the U.S. in past times, and another, Osama bin Laden, the second in 2001. Understanding the 9/11 wars. Quote, this is from Brzezinski. It's a quote from 1997. So we've had a number of warnings before it happened, including from the regime itself. The United States needs unhindered financial and economic access to Central Asia's natural resources, especially the enormous economic prize of the natural oil and gas located in the region. But it will be difficult to fashion a consensus on foreign policy issues except in the circumstances of a truly massive and widely perceived external direct threat. Unquote. The deepest mystery of 9/11 itself is why the facts contradicting the official story have been silenced in public and media discussion, with even left websites refusing to engage the meaning. I had a debate with Michael Albert, for example, on ZNet, and he just avoided it continuously, the whole issue. The taboo against knowing the facts is here encoded into the identity structure itself. Even the plain fact that there was an unprecedented delay on 9/11 of standard plane intercept routines for over 70 minutes, normally 10 minutes long, until all the target buildings had been hit, still remains publicly unspeakable years later. No one denies the fact, but it is, quote, conspiracy theory to mention it. This is a dead silence operation of the ruling group mind that locks out all thought and evidence which do not fit its baseline presuppositions. Given the known pre-11 9/11 search by U.S. geostrategic planning for a publicly saleable reason to invade Central Asia and Iraq, as the Brzezinski four quote in the Project for the New American Century revealed to us, why do the media, citizens, and other governments continue to disconnect 9/11's strange occurrence from what it provided the ideal pretext for? Militarily imposed new control and access over Iraqi and Central Asian oil. Specifically, its supply and its sale and its access across the world's richest oil reserve. We knew of these aims before they were made fact. Why then, when these very major invasions then occurred one on top of the other after 9/11, the sole context within which they could have been sold as defensive, does even dominant left analysis refuse to connect the dots? In the U.S. itself, almost no one, including the heroic Noam Chomsky, engages the question. Even the recent most developed factual analysis among almost none features an exonerating title, the new Pearl Harbor. Even after years of known lying about Iraq by the Bush administration, why do the media and foreign affairs respondents still continue to block out all evidence substantiating the hypothesis of a constructed 9/11 attack? For obvious example, the anonymously blocked FBI investigations before 9/11, the ignored intelligence warnings from many foreign state agencies, and the immediately prior visit of the Pakistani intelligence ISI paymaster of one of the lead hijackers. Why are even the basics of physical science ignored in understanding the attack? The building collapses whose velocity of fall from plane impacts alone contradicts the laws of gravitation and engineering physics. Again, there is no counter-evidence or argument. There is just disconnection from and between the facts across the left-right spectrum. Now, given the Bush administration's endless stalling, blocking, and attack dog treatment of those chafing at top-level inaction before 9/11, including the FBI Director of Anti-Terrorism, John O'Neill, who died in the attack, and later the Bush administration's own official chief advisor on counterterrorism, Richard Clark, what more evidence is required for the wall of the unthinkable to be moved? How can the long-prepared plans for war crime invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, which 9/11 alone justified to the public, not be connected across the dots by still-thinking people? How could anyone coherently believe that, quote, and this is John Kerry's quote, and he's a careful man, quote, the most crooked, lying group I've ever seen, unquote, about the Bush Jr. administration string pullers were somehow not in? How could you coherently think that they weren't in on what, quote, all the buzz in Washington, as well as foreign intelligence circles, were warning about right to the day? If many followed these warnings not to be in the buildings or on the relevant flights on that day, how could U.S. Defense Intelligence and the CIA not know? How could it happen if they did not? Consider the secret command coordination which is everywhere at work in the U.S. national security state apparatus. Then think through the multi-level stand-down of preventative procedures which were essential to allow 9/11 to occur, and did allow 9/11 to occur, at every level from immigration to flight control to defense intelligence and the CIA. If one remembers the record of sacrifices of countless thousands of people to covert geopolitical strategies of which the U.S. corporate security state is known already to be capable, what could be the cognitive disorder which could block the recognition of these connected facts and their meaning? How can a normal intelligence really think that the Bush Jr. cabal of operators who have arranged the usurpation of the U.S. presidency and have waged a mass murderous war by false pretext with the very lead operators who have presided over death squads and criminal secret deals destroying countless lives since the Reagan era, how could we think they would be too virtuous to manipulate a long-planned event by familiar people which gave them unheard-of new powers? When they know from all experience that they can play the card of America at war against anyone who challenges the president and commander-in-chief, why would they reject the heaven-sent fulfillment of their known wish list by 9/11? The motivations for murderous crimes of state and successful distancing from them are the warp and woof of history. All Henry II required to murder the Archbishop of Canterbury was a question in front of those who served him. Would we not have to be foolish to assume that the power-corrupted men facing enmeshment in the greatest electoral scandal and business frauds in U.S. history and a sliding economy under their watch would just turn away from an allowing event which would reverse their fortunes? And unprecedented world powers at stake. Would it be rational for such men to turn down the greatest opportunity of history to establish the empire of, quote, full-spectrum dominance they planned on the basis of just such a fast-track event, to save fewer lives? Would they do this to save fewer lives than 3 months of domestic traffic accidents? The corporate market calculus all lived by would not be deterred by such an externality any more than the oil business they come from is concerned about far more deaths from their pollutions and extractions. Yet there is a deep structure of consciousness at work beyond the beneficiaries, which denies even the self-evident, and all our media right here in Toronto are in on it, not consciously. There is a level of identity that operates beneath facts, and it is a structure of prejudice, prejudgment, which selects what facts are and are not seen, are connected. One needs to remember here that the lead group of the Bush top secret team is much of the same personnel that presided over the smuggling of cocaine into the U.S. to addict Americans so as to illegally finance war crimes against Nicaragua, and before that plotted with and provided arms to the mullah dictatorship of Iran so that it held on to American hostages long enough for the election to be lost by Jimmy Carter to the Reagan regime. Even without this larger historical context in view, and it's the same people like Elliot Abrams and so on and Cheney who are involved, within which, in fact, Cheney and Rumsfeld have worked at the top from the beginning, what evidence in the real world does the mainstream of North America have to believe that the very same people in political networking who boldly stole the 2000 presidential election by overriding legal voting procedures and rode on Enron jets and criminally provided financing to get there, and who still try to push through a national energy policy secretly advised by the same fraudulent operators, why would we think they're above letting 9/11 occur to win world power for themselves? Why, most simply considered as the most elementary known principle and question of forensic judgment, justice, in the face of any crime, cui bono, who benefits, suspended here on 9/11. Note throughout that no mass media in the U.S. or Canada, nor any Democratic opposition politician, including presidential candidate Kerry, raises the most basic of all issues, cui bono. What explains why the self-evident is unthinkable? There's something at work within and across people's consciousness as citizens and consumers which is not yet penetrated. Some form of instituted mind lock blocks out the normal first question. It would lead us to the first forensic hypothesis that there was a complicit blind eye to what maximally served this administration's self-interest above all and no one else's. But we know that the most obvious hypothesis has been prohibited from view on pain of a burning, quote, a burning necklace of fire around the questioner's neck, to quote Dan Rather's words. Even when all the evidence pointed in the direction of the most important news story of the era, and there was no counter-evidence, such as hard losses suffered by anyone at the top of the most unaccountable and pervasive failure of the most advanced international security apparatus in history, still, the question remained publicly unspeakable. Why would the most basic forensic question and facts continue to be overlooked when only ever more gains for this ruling group and their oilmen, military constituencies piled one on top of another from 9/11 on? Why would no one mention the vast and global new powers over nearly everyone which 9/11 reaped for everybody at the top of this corporate state cabal? Why would the most elementary logic of any normal reading of criminal intent and action, whose interests are alone served, remain unthinkable? That is a mystery. Not once anywhere in public discourse that I know of, not in one piece of an around-the-clock saturating field of media and learned messages, have the interests served by 9/11 for those in control been once named. So let us name them here. Open access to the world's formerly untouchable and greatest wealth resources. New command position over public financing for subordinate militaries and police apparatuses, not only in the U.S. but across the globe. Privatization of the world's richest publicly owned and state-controlled oil fields and the social infrastructures they support. Almost no mention of that. new declared right to suspend the historical basis of rule by law, habeas corpus, and whatever other civil rights are targeted. The CAUT has a nice analysis of this recently. New legitimation of a president who lost the election until a legal mass invalidation of votes by Bush state officials and a stacked Supreme Court overturned state laws for vote recount. Public diversion from the regime's known corrupt support and energy policy determination by the most criminally fraudulent corporate leadership in American history. Unprecedented new powers for price leveraging of oil supply. As you've got our price of oil right now, one can see what happens. And military services for, quote, a war without end. New police powers across borders to imprison without right of legal defense anyone deemed to obstruct an international trade or other meeting. In the future, and in crowning glory, unlimited new rights of men with chicken hawk pasts to command everyone else in new ways with ever more fawning media attention as men of will of iron. How could anyone of sane mind not connect the staggering gains by these people to the same people's failures to protect against 9/11, which provided all the new powers? The problem of denial runs deep into the collective psyche. The anomaly to be explained is how in an open society of cynical market calculation, the most evident facts of ruling group gain at almost everybody else's increasing expense can be so successfully repressed. I can't believe that is the sign pointing back to the block behind it. Even the consuming public's insatiable desire to know the dark secrets of the rich and famous is here still. Something deeper than regime propaganda is at work. Those who believe that the in-group running the U.S. national security state could not possibly have been involved in 9/11 are, by self-admission, no longer connected to the issue of fact or truth. They move within a deeper regime of meaning which operates across individuals and classes and beneath reason. They are moved from underneath by a pre-scientific field of hysteria, denials, and projections which propelled two criminal invasions, war criminal invasions and occupations, and police state laws across the world in under 3 years. We confront here, in short, a primeval world of the group mind, harnessed to the global market's military juggernaut and a bottomless consumer maw that only desires more. With war fever as its moving passion, the atomized masses are made one in a salvational fantasy of self-proving triumph over the enemy, which is seen everywhere. All step to the march of the group mind's metaprogram by which experience and perception are themselves organized. This is the ordering framework of consciousness in terms of which coherence and meaning are found in whatever is selected for attack, however false the justifications or defenseless the victims might be. Even the doomsday bombing of innocent poor peoples on a constructed pretext is perceived through the prism of this ruling group mind as a war for goodness and freedom. This is an old pattern in American expansion of continental and global market power. But it becomes fanatic in a new way with the construction of 9/11. Few dare to see the propelling mindset behind. In the 9/11 turn, one stigma phrase has held the group mind in a set point of compliance that asks no questions. Conspiracy theory is the term of art for the silencing operation. Fear of ridicule does the rest. In consequence, the 9/11 attack has permitted what was impossible before it. It has allowed an illegitimate administration to transmute into Americans' patriot champion at war, above accountability and the rule of law. Defending America from another terrorist attack, quote, has in this way become a political blank check for corporate corruption of government with impunity, war criminal acts and threats across the Islamic world without limit, and attacks on civil rights and public commons everywhere. This is the theater of America's war without end, a war which bestows new rights to dispossess, intimidate, imprison, and kill those who oppose, and more deeply, ignore the world's increasingly grave environmental and social problems which deepen under the global market regime. It is a war which crosses oceans and borders, a fiat reality which blocks out any effective attention or policy to the global crisis and its systemic causes. It has captured not just one government and people as in past wars to divert populations, but the entire world, which is, quote, either for the U.S. or for the terrorists, unquote. The public sector is thereby rendered impotent in formation of social policies and infrastructure to meet the life and death problems of the failing global market paradigm. Many thinking people understand the geostrategic pattern at work here, but not the regulating mechanisms of the pathogenic group mind that orders every one of the steps. It is the system decider behind every false terror scare, diversionary tack, big lie and violation of international law since 9/11. It is its metaprogram. Its primary economic expression is global privatization of public resources by force as well as fraud. Terrorists instead of communists are the diversionary enemy. What is in fact attacked at every level on the ground is any social formation which blocks access to the last great frontier for corporate exploitation and control of our epoch. Public resources and spaces of every kind, including thought itself. This is the code meaning of the Bush administration's endless mantra of our freedom. That is, freedom for full spectrum control or access to everything of priceable value with no outer or inner perimeter to its invasion. That's the key. The trigger cause of the U.S. war state is a 9/11 attack on America, quote, but its binding lie is freedom. U.S. investment interests and defense installations increasingly span the globe in the name of everybody else's liberation. 9/11 is the pivot on which it all turns.
You've just been listening to the first part of a speech given by Professor of Philosophy, Dr. John McMurtry, of the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. The title of the speech is Why the Facts of 9/11 Are Suppressed, Understanding the Ruling Group Mind Behind the War Without End. Tune in next week to hear the conclusion of that speech. It's 8 years since this speech was given, yet the war without end still blazes on. From Afghanistan and Pakistan to Iraq, then Libya, now Syria, and next Iran. And 8 years later, the facts of 9/11 still remain suppressed. But the 9/11 truth movement, in spite of being heavily infiltrated with lots of inside squabbling, has made tremendous progress in getting the word out about the lies and cover-up of 9/11 in both the Bush and Obama administrations. With 1,672 architects and engineers pursuing the truth and exposing the government lies, to the many professional organizations with websites like pilots, lawyers, media professionals, religious leaders, political leaders, military officers, firefighters, to name just a few, all demanding 9/11 truth, and the actors and artists with celebrities like Woody Harrelson, Ed Asner, Daniel Sunjata, Martin Sheen, and many more, all working on a movie to expose the truth, the perpetrators of 9/11 have to be getting a little nervous. So keep spreading the truth. Show 9/11 movies at your local cable access station. Talk to your friends and family. Let's collectively break through this suppression of the facts. If you want your civil liberties back, if you want to end the 9/11 wars, if you want to curb corporate power, if you want to stop the 1% from transferring more of your tax dollars into their accounts, and if you want to expose the corporate media as the voice of propaganda and misinformation that it is, exposing the truth about 9/11 is the one thing that could stop the madness. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.